As we come to look at God's word together, the sermon is entitled A Powerful Prayer. And I want to really focus on just a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 9 to verse 13. Many years ago, we were actually in membership at Mutley Baptist Church in Plymouth, and it was one Sunday evening. The minister, or the pastor, Derek Tipple, got up to say, I'm actually going to preach, but I've got 22 points to the sermon. Derek Tipple would normally preach 45, 50 minutes normally. He got through 17. I've actually got 5 points to the sermon, so I've gone away from the Spurgeon's way of doing it, Spurgeon's College, 3 points. But I want to pick up, and firstly, he prays with gratitude in his heart. He prays with gratitude in his heart. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, and verse 9, which reminds us what Paul feels for the Thessalonians. And he says this, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? If you go through some of Paul's letters in the New Testament, he sometimes speaks about himself as being a herald of the gospel or an ambassador for Christ. But here we have Paul's heart, a pastor's heart, his desire for the church at Thessalonica is that they would grow and be strong and firm. And in Paul's thanksgiving to God, we see this perspective. Praise is giving God glory for who he is. Thanksgiving is giving glory to God for what he has done in his people. And we see Paul's passion and his desire as a pastor. He wants these believers to grow and to develop and to have that living faith and trust in our Lord Jesus. I think in many ways, it is the lens through which we view our entire life. He was God's faithful servant and always lived with the perspective of God's hand on his life. As we come together as his people, we must never lose sense that our God is a God that brings change and transformation. A God who speaks into our lives with that word of assurance and hope and purpose. And we see here in verse 9, his heart was full of gratitude for the work of God in the lives of these believers. They were a group of Christians up against it, facing persecution, facing struggles and difficulties. But he wants to praise God for what God has done in their lives. And for us, as his disciples, as his followers in Christ, whatever we face, we serve a mighty and a living and a powerful God that can speak into our lives and to envision and to empower us. If we go back to chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul found words inadequate to express his appreciation for what had happened in their lives. And the change in Paul's mood was so radical. He says in chapter 3 and verse 7, all our distress and persecution has now become all our joy because of your faith and trust. Paul had that sincere joy. But notice where the thanks goes. It's to God. Paul is thanking God for the joy that he has because of what God has done in their lives. Isn't that extraordinary? It was God who was at work to keep them on track. And Paul praises God for them so that God gets the glory, but these believers might be actually encouraged. It's a humbling thing as we come to our living God. And wherever we are in our journey, in our discipleship with him, that we come to a living God who just wants to come and bless us by his Spirit. We come to a living God that we can have that encounter with our Lord Jesus. Just let me illustrate it. One day, a poor boy was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through college. He had no money left, so he was in a desperate situation. He was so hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. However, he lost his nerve when a young lady opened the door. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he looked so hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. She thought that he really needed that. And after he drank the milk, he actually said to the young lady, "How much do I owe you?" "You don't owe me anything," she replied. "Mother has taught us never to accept payment for any act of kindness." He said, "Then I thank you from my heart." And he left the house, went away encouraged and felt physically stronger. So he went away not prepared to quit his college. Many years later, this same young woman, critically ill, the local doctors were actually baffled. Then finally sent her to a big city where they called in a specialist to study her illness. Dr. Howard Kelly was called into a room to examine her. And when he heard the name of the town she came from, his eyes filled with tears. Immediately, he examined her and after spending some time, did the best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to her case. After a long struggle, the battle was won. And Dr. Kelly requested the finance office to pay the final bill to him for his approval. He looked at it and he wrote something on the edge of the bill that was sent to her room. This lady opened the bill very hesitantly, thinking she didn't have enough money to pay the bill. But finally, she looked at something that caught her attention. On the side of the bill, she read these words: "Paid in full with one glass of milk." We come to a Lord Jesus who has paid everything in full through his death for us on the cross at Calvary. A Lord Jesus who has rescued us. a Lord Jesus who has poured his grace into our lives. And Paul actually wants to respond with a pastor's heart for all that God has done for this church at Thessalonica. And he actually says, all credit goes to the living Lord, our living God. And he speaks about the joy of what he has for what God has done in their lives. Like any pastor, he sees the joy of what God does in his people. That hunger and that desire. Because all the victories, all the hope, and all the certainty that we have in Christ, all the gratitude needs to go to him. Secondly, I want to pick up, he prays constantly. He prays constantly. Please look with me at verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. See, Paul loved these believers. He knew the greatest blessing he could give them was to stand for Christ, to encourage them. And Paul and his partners prayed. And it's this phrase here, night and day. This mission team offered constant prayer for these people, believing that God would answer their prayers. And I want you to notice here the word earnest, express that strong prayer, that super abundant prayer. He prayed beyond the normal measure for that request. I think sometimes our prayers need to be boiling prayers. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we can actually come to prayer and bring maybe a situation and that we are concerned with. But some situations, we need to come to our living God and to cry our hearts out and to plead and to sometimes weep over situations that we feel passionately. Maybe some of us have families, children, grandchildren, neighbours, friends that we've been praying for many years for them to come to that personal faith in Jesus Christ. And that we need to pour our hearts out. See, we serve a mighty and a living God. There are sometimes we limit God by our own belief. But we come to an awesome God who wants to do more than we can think or imagine. Some situations need extraordinary praying. And I want you to notice here, goes on in verse 10. And the word supply means to fit together, to adjust, to restore, to repair, to equip. It's used of setting bones or repairing fishing nets. Our God is the God who restores. Our God is the God who heals. Our God is the God who actually steps in. And if I can leave you with this personal challenge. If you have not already begun to be serious about prayer, I suppose I've been really shaped or fashioned by daily prayer through the Celtic tradition, you know, morning, afternoon, midday, evening. Start your day with prayer. come to the Lord in prayer right through the day, and even at the end, finish with prayer. You don't have to pray for hours upon hours, but it's inviting Jesus into that situation. Turn your day and that situation over to him, because as his disciples, our lives need to be changed. We need to grow in our faith, and sometimes to be risk takers, to grow, to apply the principle of God's word to our experiences. And Paul goes on to say, what is lacking in your faith? When Paul sends, you know, Timothy to Thessalonica, he found some shortcomings in their Christian faith. All of us as believers have shortcomings. We need to grow and to develop. But our God is the God that works in our lives to bring change and hope and direction, that we might face the challenges that confront us on a daily basis. Thirdly, I want to pick up the direction he seeks, and it's verse 11 of chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. If you remember back in chapter 2 and verse 18, we see that Paul is praying for the removal of the obstacles placed in their way by Satan. So we are reminded of the battle going to hinder the work of the Lord, and our need for God's leading and God's direction, but also God's protection. Paul was praying for guidance, that the Lord would open doors. And he makes this intercession to both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, the word himself is very emphatic. The more we recognize our human limitations, the more we place ourselves in God's hands, it is the Father who undertakes for us, that we come to a merciful and a compassionate and a living God who is our Heavenly Father, that we can pour our hearts out to him. It is the Father who undertakes it for us. Only the living God and the concerned Father can remove those roadblocks, those obstacles. Only the living God, who is so concerned with us as we live our lives out. Maybe we stumble over things. Paul also appeals to the Lord Jesus Christ, both the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Both equally participate in answer prayer. We come to a living God. And when we maybe are worried or concerned or anxious or fearful, we need to come to our living Lord, to our great high priest, our Lord Jesus, who intercedes for us. Paul prays here that God will direct a straight path back to Thessalonica. See, God orders our steps and stops. Fourthly, let's move on. Love without limits. Love without limits. Verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Paul prayed for that increase in love. I think we need that more than anything else. I was at the association day yesterday, and someone was speaking to me, and discovered that I was the new minister of Calvary Baptist Church. And the question was, what is your vision for the church? That was the question. And what I actually responded to say, I think, in the first year here at the church, all I want to do is to love God's people and to journey with God's people and to build that relationship with God's people. Vision comes as God leads us and directs us as a church. And what Paul is actually saying here, that our love must increase. And the example, ultimately, what we've got is through our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. That agape love that kept Jesus on the cross for the sin of the world, our sin. The fact is, love is God's supreme grace. You can never have too much of it. You can never have enough of it. And Paul is saying here, I pray that God will make you an overflowing fountain of love. Love is something that only God can increase. It's His supreme work in our hearts as He changes us, as He transforms us. Loving is not just directed to believers, but those outside the walls of a church building. I like always to say, a local church is here to serve Jesus Christ and the local community, to make that difference for our Lord Jesus. And that's what it means when Paul says, and for everyone else. A church which is supernaturally loves one another will be a powerful force for the gospel. Just let me illustrate it. The effect of God's supernatural work of love in the man's heart is powerful, illustrated by a true story in the Japanese concentration camp in 1943. The camp was a sea of mud and filth, the scene of brutal labour and grim treatment by the prison guards. There was hardly enough food to go around the camp. But there was a young man there who gave his last crumb to another man. This young man died, but his example, his witness, and some people wanted to know, what was his secret? What made him so different? And they searched through his belongings and they found a Bible. And they were touched by his life. And the fact was, through his example, this desperate situation of this camp was transformed. It was a sense of hope and purpose. And through his witness and through his example, on that Christmas morning in 1943, 2,000 men were at worship. They could see the difference that the Lord made through his life. And many of those prisoners' lives were changed and transformed by the gospel, started by one man's selfish love for another. And it starts with us as God's people to make that difference for our Lord Jesus. And that's why Paul prayed for the church at Thessalonica. He knew the powerful effect of God's amazing love in their lives. And if we're full of love, it will overflow to others. Our love should be growing continually. And to make that difference for our Lord Jesus. If we take the word love and take the initials acrostic, L, listen to other people. Be sensitive. We will respect and accept people enough and graciously hear what they have to say. O, overlook people's failures and overlook the pastor's failures from time to time. V, value people as Jesus valued people. E, express God's love. You know, our prayer should be, as people come in, as we engage, as we scatter as God's people, we show the love of Christ in action. And finally, and very briefly, strength with flaws. Strength with flaws. Verse 13, it says this, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. See, Paul is praying here for the long-term perspective of these believers. He is asking that these Christians to stand firm and be godly until the end of history, when we meet God face to face, when Jesus comes again. He's praying that they will be strengthened for the long haul. That is why we need God's strength in life. There are setbacks. There are discouragements. There are hardships. But we serve a Lord that has won the victory and that we are on the victory side. And God uses our trials to say to the watching world, here is a real believer. This is what a real believer looks like. He or she may be battered and bruised by life. Days might be hard and nights are long. But the fact is, they know God's peace. They know God's assurance. They know God's presence. And Paul prays that they would grow in love and be strengthened for the battle ahead. And whatever we face, whatever confronts us tomorrow, next day, next week, next month, our strength is if we are rooted and established in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul prays for this church that they would be strengthened and we too know God's power and presence whatever we face. In Christ's name, amen.